How you make others feel about themselves says a lot about you.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily podcast on fantasy basketball. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com, and you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_beeble. Only a couple of free agent signings happened in the last 24 hours. There's still about 15, 16 guys who are out there. Nearly all of those restricted free agents, guys like Marcus Smart, Jabari Parker, Clint Capella. We still haven't heard news on those. We'll talk about the couple of free agent signings that have gone down. Plus, we'll look back at the action from day 5 of Las Vegas Summer League, the last day before the knockout portion of the tournament, and go through what sort of performances we saw there. So, Michael Bolton,
let's get to it.
All right, let's get to it indeed. Let's start with a free agent signing by the Houston Rockets, and that is James Ennis does sign with the Houston Rockets on a 2-year deal. Now, of course, they lost Trevor Ariza. They lost Luke Richard-Mamute. Oh, he's dropped the Richard. Luke Mamute. So there was an opening there on the wing. There's still the persistent rumor of Carmelo Anthony going there. The latest talk is that Melo may be traded to the Nets and then bought out, and then he may choose the Heat or the Rockets or the Lakers or whichever direction he's going to go. So it might not be that Ennis is necessarily starting, but he's had some moments in the past, Jimmy, of having some decent level production, mainly for really short stretches, a short stretch in Memphis, a short stretch in New Orleans. Hasn't really ever been able to put it together for a long period of time. It was traded to Detroit last season in the at the trade deadline. If he is a guy that that does get the start and play 34 minutes exactly in that Ariza role, I'm not sure that he's going to be an ownable guy. Trevor Ariza was a real back-end guy who dipped significantly last season and barely cracked the top 100, and Ennis isn't in the same class. He is a better shooter, shot at least 46% in each of the last three seasons from the field, 45, 37, and 33 from three in those 3 years as well, but doesn't do it as much in the steals category, which is where the majority of Trevor Ariza's value came from. He's not going to be getting tons of usage, not that Ennis really ever needed tons of usage, doesn't get assists, and doesn't hit threes in the same volume that Ariza does. Only hit 1.1 threes per 36 minutes last season, which is nowhere near enough. But that short stint that he did have with the Pelicans a few years ago, he did hit 2.8 threes per 36. So that's something to pay some attention to in a three-point heavy team like the Rockets. Maybe he can get that going. He'd be a guy, again, assuming that Melo doesn't arrive, that you might take a flyer on as a last pick in a draft. But in general, I want those last picks for guys with upside, guys like Brandon Knight in Phoenix, who could become a top 60 player. Whereas Ennis, if you took him at pick 150, what's he going to top out at? 130, maybe? Like, what's the value in that? I'd rather take a flyer on someone, as I did last season with Tyreek Evans. I also took a flyer on some leagues in Chandler Parsons, and that didn't work out. But that's exactly what that last pick is for in those standard leagues. Taking a guy, because if it does work out, then you've got a top 50, top 60 guy on your hands. Not like if it does work out, oh, he's 130th ranked player, which I believe is probably Ennis's uppermost ceiling. His advanced numbers last season were okay. They were nothing spectacular. He did struggle more in Detroit than what he did in Memphis. He shot the ball well. Defensively, he's solid enough. And he's a decent enough facsimile for what Ariza and Mamute did. He's nowhere near the level of those two guys. And if he is the guy that's taking all of their minutes, which is going to be a lot considering it's about 50 minutes a game and it's going to be impossible for him, then it is a downgrade for Houston. But I don't think they could have done too much better than getting Ennis as opposed to what else was left here on the market. It would have been excellent if they had got someone like Marcus Smart, but that's clearly not going to be easy for them to do in this sort of a cap environment that they find themselves. But Jim Ennis does go across to Houston. He'll be a solid enough deeper league guy. The Carmelo Anthony situation is one we do have to pay attention to here, because that's probably going to have the biggest impact on what Ennis's value ends up being for this season. So pay attention to Melo. Pay attention to Ennis. I'm not a massive Ennis guy. He's had moments. He's just never been able to sustain it for long periods of time. And he is going to be 28 in this upcoming season. So he's sort of right in his prime, not much in terms of long-term investment dynasty-wise in Jimmy Ennis. The other signing that went down was much lower, and it was a two-way contract. Damian Lee, who is Steph Curry's future brother-in-law, he's the fiance of Steph's sister, he signed a two-way deal with the Golden State Warriors. You may remember Damo. Last season, he played 15 games for the Atlanta Hawks, 27 minutes per game, and actually was the 158th ranked player in fantasy. Averaged almost 11 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, and 1.3 steals, but shot poorly, just 41% from the field and 25% from 3. But the steal rate's nice, decent assist numbers, hit 3s, hit his free throws. There's a little bit of something there for Damian Lee. He's not all that young. He's about 25 years of age. He'll turn 26 at some point during the season. But he's not a terrible, terrible guy. And this is a team that did need some depth on the wings and at the guard position. Not that he's necessarily going to be playing a huge amount, but he is a solid, he showed enough to me that makes me think, yeah, he probably should be on an NBA roster somewhere. And he's going to find himself on an NBA roster for this coming season, albeit as a two-way guy. But we saw Quinn Cook, who was their two-way guy last season, come in and be a significant NBA level starter. For that period of time when Steph Curry was down and played really, really well in that stretch. Now, of course, there is Sean Livingston, there is Steph Curry, there is Quinn Cook still there in Golden State. So it's not like Lee is going to be getting huge minutes. Klay Thompson, of course. But Uncle P, Nick Young, has gone. So there is an opening there at shooting guard for some minutes for someone like Damian Lee. So just someone to pay some attention to. The Hawks were a positive with him on the court last season, which you can't say for many players on that team, a plus 1.3. True shooting was pretty poor, but did some things with his assist numbers from the wing, which is not horrible. And some of his advanced projectional type stuff doesn't look too bad. Looks like he does have some value. I think it's a solid signing. For fantasy though, it's going to be a struggle to ever see him, probably even crack that top 200 that he did last season, especially given the team that he is on. But if he does find himself on another team, I could see him moving. If he was going to the Magic or to the Grizzlies, I could see him having another top 250 type season. He is solid enough, but that shooting is the real concern with Damian Lee. It's probably what's going to hold him back from being a regular NBA contributor. But it's good to see him turn that little 15-game cameo last season from the Hawks into another two-way deal this season with the presumptive favorites for the NBA championship. So finds himself in a good situation and gets to play with his brother-in-law. So that is that for Damian Lee. Let's talk a little bit about Summer League now. There was a much smaller load of games on day 5 as we rounded out the round robin portion of the tournament, so much less for me to talk about in today's show. Before we get into Summer League though, a quick reminder, go and sign up, check my timeline for sign-ups for the Red Rock Challenger Leagues. Everyone who is a Patreon subscriber has now got links to the head-to-head leagues, to the Roto Leagues, and to the Points Leagues. You guys are going to have a few days of priority access to sign up to whichever leagues you've got. There are $100 price points, $50 price points, $25 price points, and free price points as well. And then after a few days of the Patreon subscribers getting their first crack at entering those leagues, everyone who has applied for a position in these leagues will get emails according to the leagues that you asked to be interested in, and those emails will be sent out. We have got tons of people, especially interested in the head-to-head leagues, so places in those leagues are going to be tight. In the end, with so many we've got, we might actually have to set up a second division of Red Rock Challenge Leagues. I'm working out exactly the best way to do it, but we might set up a second division of head-to-head Red Rock Challenge Leagues, where if you win that second division, if you're in the final in that second division, then you get automatic placement in the Premier Division next season, and then the winners of those Premier Division go into the Champions League. So we might actually have to go really, really deep, given how many people, because I'm doing 12 leagues of 12 teams, 144 people, and there is... for head-to-head leagues, all right, there's about 400 people who have applied for those spots so far. So I reckon we might go to two divisions of head-to-head Champions League. Might not do that for Roto or points, but I think we can push out at least to 12 points leagues as well. And we'll do a ton more of the draft-only leagues, but tons of interest, and get on board. If I have just heaps of people still wanting positions, I will create more leagues and I'll work out, a much more intricate tournament type structure, much like I just said then, which came off the top of my head, and hopefully it's something that can work out. But put your name down, and in the next few days, we'll probably say the start of next week, People who did apply will start getting invites out for those leagues once the Patreon subscribers have had their first crack at getting positions in whichever leagues that they are interested in. All the first lot of draft-only leagues have filled up as well. We'll open up more of those probably in August. Let's talk Summer League. Big Bam Adebayo is the guy that I really want to focus on as the player of the day. 24 points for Bam with 9 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. Very, very close to the Richie Beno for Bam Adebayo. He just didn't hit the 2 triples, but the 2 steals and 2 blocks were there. He's handling the ball a ton more in Summer League, putting up some pretty interesting numbers, which is good to see. And of course, Kelly Olynyk is still there. Hassan Whiteside is still there. So his playing time is far from guaranteed for this upcoming season, but we saw him be really impressive last year. And if the Heat look to move on from Hassan Whiteside, they won't be doing it under the hopes that they are getting back another center because of how well Bam has played. He's averaged 14.5 with almost a steal and a block per game through 5 Summer League games, but shooting only 36%. Not someone I'd really, at this early stage, be looking at as a standard league guy. Kelly Olynyk is the best center on this team, in my opinion. Jim Johnson plays some center, and of course, Whiteside's there as well. But he is a guy who I do think has got top 70 upside when we talk about dynasty formats in about the next 2 years, I would guess. Probably in his fourth season, I could see him being a top 70 player. But this season, it's going to be a little bit of a struggle for Bam Adebayo, just given the other players who are around still on this Heat roster, but things can always change with that Whiteside scenario, which is probably the biggest one that we need to pay attention to. Let's have a look at some other big performances from Summer League. We'll start with the Spurs game. They took on the Portland Trail Blazers. Lonnie Walker, yeah, decent enough performance, nothing too spectacular from him. 12 points with 2 rebounds. He took a lot of shots, which is something I'm interested in. I don't really love Walker, to be honest, from a fantasy point of view. He looks super cool. I love his hair. That's always a great sign. He takes shots. I'm not convinced he's going to be someone that hits shots, or convinced that he's going to be someone who is ever got top 50 or maybe even top 100 upside. He needs to be able to rebound, get assists, get steals, get blocks, and be efficient. And I'm not sure that even one of those things can actually come to fruition with Lonnie. But he did okay here, led the team in scoring. We had Olivier Hanlon, a point guard who was a second-round pick of the Jazz a couple of years ago. He was okay in this game too. And Jerome Blossom game continued to show that maybe he should be at least on a two-way contract next season, putting up a decent enough performance. Derek White was out of this game. So Walker's a guy picked 18 in the NBA draft. I would take him lower than that in dynasty formats. There are guys who are picked significantly lower who would jump ahead. D'Anthony Melton is one of those guys from Houston. Elia Kobo from Phoenix I'd probably have ahead of him. There are other guys who I'd have ahead of Lonnie Walker. I'm not 100% sold on him as being a great NBA player or even a serviceable fantasy guy. For the Blazers, Wade Baldwin looks too good to be here in Summer League. 16 points with 9 assists, 5 steals, blocked a shot, shot the ball well. Does he move into the primary backup slot behind Dame Lillard now that Shabazz Napier is gone? Is Seth Curry going to be exclusively a shooting guard? Baldwin has been really, really impressive this time. It is his third Summer League, so you'd hope he would be. But this is the sort of play that made me want Baldwin to be a lottery pick back in the 2016 draft. He disappointed for Memphis. I didn't like the way they got rid of him. I've said this plenty of times. I still think Baldwin does have maybe some top 100 upside. Maybe that's pushing it a little bit too far. But I still do believe that Baldwin can be a serviceable player. He had some attitudinal issues that needed to be fixed. Perhaps he's gotten that way. I'm not certain on it. He's not a high priority type of dynasty target player, but it's good to see him really play well. Well, Gary Trent did what he needs to do. Let's drop this one. Nice Gary! Gotta get the preseason nice Gary's in there. 20 points with 4 triples, taking a lot of shots. Not really going to do too much else apart from knock down those threes and score. And that's what's going to always limit his potential fantasy upside. But it was solid from him. Caleb Swanigan had 12, 9, and 5 with two steals. Summer League specialist Caleb Swanigan. And Jake Layman had 15 and 8 there. Anthony Simons, I really like what Simons has shown on the court. It wasn't his best performance, 8 points and 3 rebounds. But he's someone that you invest in for 6 years' time, 7 years' time in a dynasty league. Maybe that's even maybe that's a little bit too far, but I do think that he can be a starter in the NBA and have top 100, top 80 type fantasy value. It's just going to take quite a while. I think we're looking at, you know, age 25 season, and he's only just 19. So it's a fair distance away for Simons, but he can be a top 100 guy. And I did like what we were able to see from him in this game. Let's move on to the next game we'll talk about, and that is the Utah Jazz and the Miami Heat. Grayson Allen, another strong game from Grayson, 17-7-3. He took 17 shots. I've been really impressed with Allen, one of those guys who I was pretty down on coming into Summer League and after the draft, but he's shown me way more things in this Summer League tournament than I expected. Averaging 7 rebounds, 6 assists, and 2 steals is very impressive. Steal rate is not normally a highly translatable stat from Summer League. Rebounds and assists are. And I don't really care that he's shot only 30% from the field. He's not going to be putting up, you know, 16 shots per game, which is what he's doing so far in Summer League. And he's also not going to get these assists in the regular season. Donovan Mitchell, ravishing Rick Rubio, Dante Exum, Howell Neto, Alec Burks. I could easily see him ahead of Burks already and ahead of Neto, and could easily find himself as the fourth guard from opening night. And that's going to have some value. Now, I did my dynasty rookie ranks before Summer League. I'll probably redo them after Summer League, and he will be one who rises considerably. He has looked solid out there. I'm still not sure his upside is massive, but what he's done in that ability to handle the ball, which is not something that he really was excellent at during his time at college, but he's been way more impressive than I anticipated. I'm not changing everything massively based on these Summer League performances, but he has been someone who has definitely impressed me in this time here. Diamond Stone, a guy who was on the Hawks a couple of years ago, 17-7. Yeah, he was an interesting guy. Well, George Niang continues to impress, 12-3-5. If there's ever a situation where he gets into big minutes just for a short period of time, he racks up stats. Points, rebounds, assists, steals, blocks. He can do all of those things. And that's the type of guy that is those sneaky fantasy valuable guys. Getting that opportunity is going to be the tough thing for Niang, and yeah, given everyone being healthy and the situation's playing out exactly how we expect them to, he's not going to have that opportunity. But things go wrong all the time. Things always change. If George Niang gets an opportunity, he will be able to put up some numbers. It's just getting to that opportunity that's going to be the tough thing. On the Heat side of things, apart from Bam Adebayo, there's not a lot here. Ike Nwamu had 18-7 with 3 threes. That's a decent enough performance. Just a name to maybe keep in your mind, but nothing too exciting. Yante Maten had 14-7. Well, Duncan Robinson, who did sign a two-way, he has been really impressive in Summer League, Duncan Robinson. 12-2-2. Wasn't his best game, but absolutely someone we need to pay attention to just for those really deep leagues. And I could see him getting promoted to a full-time contract or at least playing those full 45 days for the Heat really early on in this season. He has been very, very impressive, and shout out to him for that impressive level of play. Let's move on and have a look at the next game. A lot to break down in this one. It was the Atlanta Hawks and the Chicago Bulls. Trae Young, again, the shot isn't great in this one, only 37% from the field, but he hit 7 triples. They were the only field goals he actually made. He missed all of his all of his 2-point attempts. 24 points, 7 threes, 5 assists, and 2 steals. Still has his concerns. He will generate steals. That's something that I'm pretty sure he'll do, even though he's not a great defender. He's going to hit threes, but finishing at the rim, explosion, size, they are all concerns. I still think he's got pretty significant upside, but there is a larger bust potential with him over, say, a Luka Doncic, a DeAndre Ayton, a Jaren Jackson Jr. He's got much higher bust potential. I would still take him fairly high in dynasty leagues. It hasn't been a great showing from him in Summer League, but it also isn't enough for him to drop considerably down. The only real change I'd probably look at is maybe I'd move someone like the Block Panther, which is an interesting nickname for Wendell Carter Jr. He has been excellent, and I would consider moving him perhaps ahead of Trae Young, but Young, you know, he's still getting the points. It's just not quite there. My man Jalen Adams was great. Two-way contract for the Hawks, 23-4, 5 triples. Look for him. I think second half of the year, he is going to be a guy, much like we saw with Damo Lee or Jalen Morris last season. He can be an impactful guy. He is absolutely someone you want to have a look at in dynasty leagues. And you saw in my dynasty ranks, I had him inside the top 60 as an undrafted guy, and I feel pretty good about that. The Wizard, Amari Smallman, had 10-10 with 4 assists. He's been okay. He's just not going to be an impactful guy, I don't think, in the NBA. While Alpha Kaba was all right, I'm not really sure I see too much in Kaba as an NBA guy. He translated well coming out of Europe, but nothing has really made me say, yeah, this bloke's going to be able to be an NBA starter. Speaking of the Block Panther for the Chicago Bulls, Wendell Carter Jr. looks fantastic. 23-6, 2 blocks. You could easily make the argument that he is the third best player in this draft. The second best big man. I would still have Doncic. I would have Jaren Jackson. DeAndre Ayton's been fine, but Carter is doing everything. His ability to switch on the perimeter has been super impressive out of that Duke defensive scheme. He looks great. He's blocking shots like it's nobody's business. He's scoring. He passes. He's moving on the perimeter offensively and defensively. He looks excellent. The Bulls, if they're serious, should be giving him starters minutes as early as November, maybe December. I don't know that that will happen. And I don't think he's going to start over Robin Lopez initially, but he should. And if he gets 30 minutes a night, he's a top 100 guy. It's as simple as that. He won't be great early on, as not many rookies are, but I have real high faith in this guy. I think he's got the potential to be a top 25 fantasy upside guy at some point. Doesn't mean he'll get there. There's probably a 15% chance, but that's probably where his peak goes. Whereas someone like Ayton, I don't think his peak ever goes to top 25. Maybe it does. But based on everything I've seen with him, I'm not sure it gets there. I'm massively into Wendell Carter. I love the Bulls pick. I love the Bulls pick of him there at the time. And he's been really, really good. It's going to get harder for him in summer league, but he is a bloke that I am really massively into. Is he enough to switch me back onto Bulls fandom? Not sure about that, but he's bloody good. Antonio Blakeney took a lot of shots. We know he's going to do that. If your league counts field goal attempts, Antonio Blakeney is going to be great. 23 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. If David Nwaba doesn't come back, if they cut the sexy boy Sean Kilpatrick, maybe Antonio Blakeney can find a roster spot. But he's going to be behind Zach LaVine. He's going to be behind Justin Holiday most likely. There's the Hammer Denzel Valentine still there. There's Chandler Hutchison. He's just a really inefficient chucker who offers nothing apart from that. And the box score can look sexy when he has 23 points. Or he can drop in 2 points on 15 shots like he did the game before. Hutchison, 8 assists. This is where his strength really lies. As a wing player, can distribute 4 or 5 assists per game. It's not a crazy thing, much like Denzel Valentine, but he is a better athlete than what Valentine is. 8 points only here for Hutchison. He could find himself as a starting small forward at some point this season. Again, the options are Nwaba, Holiday, the Hammer. These aren't good options. And if Hutchison applies himself and shows out preseason training camp, he could start. And if he starts, then you take a look at him at a back-end guy, but probably not going to be the case. But those assist numbers are what can really bump up someone's fantasy value a considerable amount. So big performances there in that game. Let's move on to the Sacramento and Memphis game. Frank Mason III had 10 points, but dished out 13 assists. He pretty much is locked in as the backup point guard in Sacramento. Had some problems last season with that heel injury, but played well and was getting played over De'Aaron Fox for stretches last season. His upside is fairly limited, I think, as an older rookie coming in. Like he's fine. I don't think he's ever a guy you want as a starting point guard, but as a long-term backup guy, sure, he can be solid enough in that area and probably never has a top 100 year, but has looked solid enough or really quite good here in summer league. Justin Jackson, I know I keep saying this, but this is what Justin Jackson does. 20 points, man, that's sexy. 62% shooting, unrealistic. And then jack shit. 2 rebounds, 0 assists, 0 steals, 0 blocks. I have no faith in Justin Jackson becoming a good NBA player or a good fantasy player. I don't believe in that at all for him. And he's had some good games here. He's looked better. I just don't believe in him. Harry Giles, 11 and 12. Decent enough numbers. This Kings front court, man. Zach Randolph, Kostas Koufos, Willie Cauley-Stein, Scal Labissiere, Harry Giles, and of course, Marvin Bagley III. It's going to be impossible, I think, for any of these guys to get enough minutes to be standard league players. The three guys who've got the best chance are Bagley, Cauley-Stein, and perhaps Giles, but they're just not going to play enough because Jaeger's going to get Koufos out there. He's going to get Randolph out there. And now he's got 6 guys with an opportunity to play. He just won't play Labissiere, so he's probably going to have 5 guys. It's going to be really, really tough. I like what Giles has done. It's super exciting to see him back on the court. And yes, there is some dynasty value once they clear out the riffraff there and get rid of Koufos and get rid of Randolph and they let Cauley-Stein potentially walk. So in 2 years' time, Giles can have a couple of top 100 years maybe, but he has been really, really impressive. Wenyen Gabriel, 4-4. It was good to see him play. Yeah, but yeah, I thought he should have got drafted, Gabriel. Nothing too exciting to see, though, with him. On the Grizzlies, Wayne Selden lighting it up, 17-3-4. Probably going to be their starting shooting guard. There is still Dylan Brooks or Marshawn Brooks there, one of those three. But Selden is one of those guys who you'd take a look at as a late pick again. Just hoping he can handle 30 minutes because he's been able to get assists. He's scoring. He can hit threes. There's enough value there in Selden if he can lock down 30 minutes as a starting shooting guard. There's no guarantee of it, but it's something to pay attention to. No Jaren Jackson in this one. Ivan Rabb played well, 17-8. He showed some good performances at the end of last season, but clearly he is going to be behind Jackson and Gasol. Probably Jermichael Green's also Jarrell Martin there as well. But some encouraging signs from Ivan Rabb. Well, Javon Carter only had 5 points on 10 shots, but at least did have a steal, 6 assists and a block. His ability to get those defensive numbers is what does give him some value. He just hasn't looked great while Kobe Simmons struggled once more. And again, don't see Kobe Simmons as being an NBA caliber player, unfortunately for Kobe. The last game of the night was the Lakers and the Knicks. Josh the Hitman Hart, 27-6-3 with 3 steals and 4 dribbles. Way too good for Summer League. He looks fantastic. He is a top 100 player in the future. But of course, Lance Stephenson could dick things up. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is still there with the Lakers. Josh Hart is someone I would value as a top 100 player at some point in the next 2 seasons. Getting there this season might be a little bit tough, but I think there is a significant chance that he outplays Caldwell-Pope this year and gets more minutes. But it might be 27 minutes versus 26 minutes as they play the 2 and the 3 a little bit. So it's not possible. It's probably not going to be enough for the Hitman to be a standard league guy, but he will be a top 100 player at some point in the next couple of years. Alex Caruso dropped in 10 assists. Yeah, we know what he is. Nick King is an interesting one, a guy who has been scoring well, and no one really knows too much about him, averaging some decent numbers here in Vegas for the Lakers. Just thought I'd bring that name up, just because he has been scoring well. Sfi Mikhailiuk had 9 points with 3 triples. I think can we just calm down on he's the next Klay Thompson? I've seen this from Lakers fans everywhere. Just calm down. He's played well. Yeah, he's probably outplayed his draft slot, but he's not Klay Thompson. He is a guy that's putting up some strong numbers. Finding a spot in the rotation for him is tough, as I've said before. Yesterday, the day before, I was talking about the Lakers rotation. I forgot even Kyle Kuzma in that mix, who played the 3 last season. You've got Stevenson, you've got Ingram, you've got LeBron, you've got Kuzma. Where is Mikhailiuk going to fit in there? He can come in and bang in some threes, but does that just make him Troy Daniels at best for at least the next couple of seasons? I'm not anywhere near as high on Mikhailiuk as what Lakers fans are. He's looked pretty solid, but again, this is, we went, what did he go here? 3 from 12 from the field for 9 points. It's not going to do really much else in those other categories to give you that value. Flame and Mo Wagner. He only played 9 minutes, had 7 points with 2 steals, and those defensive numbers still keep, they're still big, and I don't really understand why this is going on. He had a minor injury. It doesn't appear to be too much of an issue, but he could very comfortably be starting for this team this year, which is wild to think about. I don't think he's going to be a standard league guy, and I'm not all that high on him moving forward, but the improvement in the defensive metrics has been immense. Let's see if he can stick for more than Summer League. Isaac Bonga, a guy who advanced stats really seem to love, has struggled a bit here. He's just someone to keep an eye on. He's not going to be really part of the rotation, more of a South Bay guy. And it'll be interesting to just peruse the South Bay box scores to see how Bonga is actually performing this season. On the Knicks, we've got to talk about the Fort, Kevin Knox, 29 points with 9 boards and 5 triples. Still, as I said when I talked about him yesterday or the day, 2 days ago, just shitloads of shots. Usage of 36%, 22 attempts, 41% from the field. He's jacking shots. They're going in just through pure volume. But I'm not too worried about field goal percentage in Summer League. Much like I don't think the 71% he shot from 3 in this game is going to hold. I'm more impressed that his steal and block rate are up. He got 9 rebounds. He looks solid. He won't be this guy in the regular season. But he is absolutely someone that you can look at. Given the way that Fizdale has talked about him, given the way that he has popped off the screen here, given the benefit of the doubt we give to Kentucky players, if he is going to start for the Knicks, he is absolutely a draftable player. Inside the top 100, no chance. Not going to touch him anywhere near that. But 120s, 130s, sure. but he needs to be able to bring the rebounding, the assists, the steals, and the blocks, and to be decently efficient to really have a chance of cracking that top 100. And I think that that might be a struggle. Now, I've mentioned this many times with Knox before, is that his statistical profile coming into the draft looked really similar to Jason Tatum's. And I was at pains to say, this is not me saying he's Jason Tatum. But the way he's playing, it looks pretty Tatum-esque. And that's really weird to say. I don't think he's going to be as good as Jason Tatum necessarily. But shit, everything, when I was just saying, ooh, these numbers look like Jason Tatum's college numbers. And then he comes out and you go, whoa, this looks like Jason Tatum. Like, what is actually going on here with Kevin Knox? It's all going to, his fantasy value is going to come down with, can he maintain this level of usage? Maybe he can on the Knicks. Like, who's taking these shots? Enes Kanter will have some. Hazonia? Timmy Hardaway? There's not like, yes, they'll take their shots, but he can get the shots. Now, can he, bludgeon them to 36% usage? No chance. Can he get 24%? Maybe. It's going to come down to, can he average seven rebounds or four rebounds? Can he average one steal and 0.8 blocks? Or is he going to be 0.7 steals and 0.4 blocks? Is he going to average 2.2 assists or one assist? And that's the difference between being a top 80 guy or being a guy that scores 18 points and outside the top 150. And there, I'm not saying 18 points is a guarantee for the Fort, but it's a possibility given this team. Just expect this massive usage rate he's had at Summer League to drop. And we've got to see how these other numbers play out. But the Kentucky issue, nobody makes good players worse than John Calipari. We've seen that time and time again. We see it with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who is looking amazing at the moment. And speaking of the Clippers, I'll talk about the Clippers in a sec, even though they're not on the sheet here. But big gains from the Fort. Alonzo Trier, their two-way guy, was great as well. 21, 10, and 5. Strong performance from him. He's going to have an opportunity at some point. While Mitchell Robinson had 13 and 8 and 3 blocks. Love him for Dynasty Leagues. Enes Kanter won't be around after this season. Yeah, Porzingis will be back, but will they go with him at center? Could they run a Porzingis-Robinson combination? Yeah, they probably could. And I think Robinson's ability here is massive, and I would be taking a flyer on him that in the next 3 years, he is a top 80 guy, would be my guess, for Mitchell Robinson. Damian Dotson struggled, which is disappointing, because I wanted to see something positive out of him. Talking about the Clippers, the news out today is that they're not going to waive Milos Teodosic. Only $2 million of his $6 million is guaranteed, but apparently they're going to run him back. So meaning they're going to have Patrick Beverley, Milos Teodosic, Sindarius Thornwell, Juwan Evans, Lou Williams, Avery Bradley. Ty Wallace is a restricted free agent. He'll likely go somewhere else. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Jerome Robinson. There's just a million guards under contract for this team. How are these minutes going to play out? Milos, Pat Bev, Bradley, and Lou Williams are probably your top four guards. Out of those guys, Lou Williams is probably going to be the only draftable player. Does Milos play 22 and Beverly play 26? What the hell is Avery Bradley doing in terms of playing time? Are they all getting 25 minutes each? Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is probably going to be the best player of this group in 2 years. I really, really like him for Dynasty Leagues. I'd be massively looking into him. But there's just so many guys in front of him at the moment. He is killing Vegas, by the way, Gilgeous-Alexander. It's a real weird situation there in LA with those guard slots. There's just too many of them, and I don't know how Doc Rivers is going to run it, but Jerome Robinson isn't going to touch the court this season. That's pretty much guaranteed. Doc is the coach, the guard's in front of him. Even Shai will barely get to see the rotation. Juwan Evans is probably going to get the arse, unfortunately. Sindarius Thornwell's been solid. He's not going to see the court. Just a real weird situation with that Clippers guard spot. Another thing that's really weird in frenzy, Isaiah Thomas. Is anyone going to sign this bloke? He's not going to Orlando. Who's going to sign him? Now, I remember talking about this a couple of years ago, and there was a real aura of the shit blokeness about him. I know he had the hip injury, and I know he had his sister's death and the teeth issues and played through it. And that's all very admirable, and he played well that season, very, very well. But there's something more to it. There's definitely an element of the shit blokes happening here that is impacting his ability to earn money and get a contract. Oh, you got to back the Brinks truck up. I remember him saying that and me just rolling my eyes and go, calm your tits, mate. Like, this, just calm down. Like, this is not what's going to happen. You are going to struggle to get anywhere near that. I didn't think it'd be anywhere near as bad as this. And I just don't see where he's going to have really even a shot at top 100 value this season. Orlando would have been the ultimate option for him there. But where else is he going now? It's a very, very strange situation. So we wait on Isaiah Thomas. We wait on all these restricted free agents as well. Going to have some really interesting guests on the show next week also. One of those is going to be Kyle McEwen, you all know. Kyle, of course, we're going to be talking about free agency and summer league from a fantasy perspective. We're going to have Jackson Hoy on at some point as well, a draft guy from the Step In to talk about recruiting or a draft analyst's perspective on summer league, and also Jacob Goldstein, who is an advanced analytics guy who creates significant metrics of his own. Got a ton of work from Jacob. Player impact plus minus is a stat that he invented, and probably the best individual all-in-one metric that is available. We'll talk about that, its predictive power, and how that can all play out in terms of dynasty projection. So we're going to talk to Jacob, Jackson, and Kyle next week, along with some other shows that will be out there talking about probably next week going to slide in the how to set up a dynasty league or dynasty settings, as well as a summer league recap from the games on Monday. So lots of stuff happening. We'll be back tomorrow, of course, with our regularly scheduled program. Subscribe to this show. Smash that red box underneath on YouTube and give me a thumbs up. But find it also on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, and leave a 5-star rating and a review. Would be excellent if you could do that. Fill out the form. Become a member of the Red Rock Challenge Leagues. Might be looking to open up a whole second round of those ones, depending on how much interest we get. Go and do that and follow me on Twitter and on Instagram at @RedRock_Beeble. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Maurice Spates.